Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. This is JP here live in the Right Side studios covering the local, the state, the national, all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, folks, this is JP here today filling in for Phil. Phil is out. He had to be called away last minute to do something very, very big, something in regards to a very big announcement that we're looking forward to tell y'all about soon, but we can't tell you yet, unfortunately. But that's where he's at today, and I asked him if I could do the first hour and a monologue for today's show in regards to the tragic incidents yesterday. But first, we do got to cover. It is Thankful Thursday.
You got to be more thankful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. You're a gentleman and a scholar.
We thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell.
Have you said thank you once?
Thank you!
And thank y'all. We are always thankful for our amazing ruffians out there. So yeah, like I said, I will be doing the first hour of today's show. And then the rest of the show will be a best ofs from yesterday's show. And like I said, Phil is gone. He will be back tomorrow. But in the meantime, I did ask him to, you know, share my thoughts on what we experienced yesterday. And I'm going to ask y'all to bear with me because I'm sure, just like all of y'all, I'm still very much shaken up by what we witnessed yesterday. You know, I could barely even sleep last night. It's been, I feel like I've had a pit on my stomach ever since yesterday. And we got the announcement literally like 10 minutes before we went on the show yesterday, and y'all were with us watching, you know, our live reactions to everything. And it's still something that's been very, very tough to process. But I do have a lot of very raw, emotional, passionate thoughts on it. And I did write up a monologue to express, you know, those thoughts. But again, like I said, please bear with me. This may get a little rough, but I do say first, this monologue is sponsored by Stan McDonald. Every single day, Stan McDonald is the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll tell y'all more about Stan here on the other side after the monologue. All right. So, you know, like I said, I wanted to talk a little bit today about some of my thoughts, unvarnished, very passionate, very raw thoughts on what we saw yesterday, which was the political assassination of Charlie Kirk. And that is what it is. This is a political assassination. This is in the same ranks of, you know, JFK, Abraham Lincoln, MLK, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. It's up there with that. It is a big deal. And Charlie Kirk was shot in front of thousands of his college supporters and the whole world yesterday, murdered in cold blood because the shooter just simply disagreed with his political beliefs. That's it. You know, Charlie said men can't be women. We can't have a nation without a border. Abortion is murder. Black-on-white racism is still racism, and conservatism is the way. Which, by the way, all those things are verifiably true. But apparently, we've reached a point in our nation that simply expressing your beliefs as a conservative could get you killed. I mean, the leader of the current conservative movement right now is the sitting president, and he almost had his head blown off in front of the whole world just last year. Mainstream media has shifted the Overton window to calling people you disagree with Nazis, fascists, white supremacists, xenophobes, you name it. Now we have been completely desensitized to the true meaning of those words, and lunatics see that as an invitation to take action. Well, one lunatic did exactly that yesterday, and now a one-year-old and three-year-old have to grow up without their dad. There's one more important message that I didn't mention earlier that Charlie unashamedly professed, and that was his most important one, that Christ is Lord. You know, Patrick Bet David put it best when he said Charlie Kirk is the mix of Billy Graham and Rush Limbaugh, which nailed it right in the head. This, I believe, is what upset others the most, because truth be told, anyone who seriously indulges in politics eventually ends up at spirituality. You know, Paul said in Ephesians, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Politics is the expression, but at the root, this is a spiritual battle. And I believe Satan was driving the shooter to do what he did yesterday. Charlie's message was resonating with too many people. He was becoming too influential. He was winning the culture battle with Christ at the wheel. So Satan took the wheel of an extremely troubled individual and took out the most impactful voice for Christ my generation had. So, yeah, it is true that Charlie's political beliefs upset someone so much that they felt the need to take his life, but it's really more than that. It's so much deeper than that. You know, it always is. Evil showed its face yesterday against someone who is a true voice for good. A voice for Christ. One of Charlie's last tweets he ever wrote 4 days ago has now gone viral, and it really just says it all. He simply just said, "Jesus defeated death so you can live." And that's the message right there. You know, you can go down the political narratives, the political fights. They all stem from that simple message. Jesus defeated death so you can live. And I take comfort in knowing that Charlie has met his creator and was welcomed with the words, "My good and faithful servant." I'm very much sure of that. Now I'm going to get personal with you for a little bit here. You know, watching the video yesterday of Charlie's murder was the most disturbing thing I've ever watched, hands down. Yeah, I was trying my hardest not to throw up in this chair yesterday during the show while watching the video of it go viral. But not just because I saw an innocent man get murdered in cold blood in front of my eyes, but because I had watched Charlie Kirk since middle school. You know, Charlie was the, not just one of, but the leading voice for Gen Z conservatives. Charlie was regularly in the trenches of where the culture war is truly won, and that's on college campuses. I can't think of anyone else who has done more for the cause of making Gen Z conservative than Charlie Kirk. Charlie made it cool to be a Trump supporter during a time in 2016 where everyone was calling Trump a sexist, racist, rapist. Charlie gave young viewers like myself the reassurance that it's okay to be a conservative. It's cool to wear MAGA hats on campus. You know, while young white Christian men were being alienated as white Christian nationalists, Charlie was there to say, it's okay to be a white Christian nationalist. But he wasn't just spreading his message, you know, from some ivory tower. He was in the trenches with us constantly, debating liberal college students, motivating young conservatives, and winning the culture battle from the front lines. And that's exactly what he was doing when his life was taken from him. He was doing what he loved and was in the act of making a difference. And this is all really a testament to how successful he was, if you really think about it. You know, they wouldn't just kill some nobody. They wouldn't take out someone who has no influence. They went after Charlie because he was so successful, so influential, and was making such a dent in the culture war that they had to take him out. That's what made him a target. And to be honest with you, there was a part of me yesterday that got scared. This is a field that I've chosen to get into, you know, after aimlessly wandering and dropping out of college. I didn't know much else to do, so I decided to give speaking my mind a try and found out that I enjoy it very much. But the message that was sent yesterday is simple. Speaking your mind as a conservative is now dangerous. When you see something you don't like and speak up about your faith and beliefs, you're not putting your life on the line. And don't get it twisted. And listen to me when I say this. Yesterday was a direct warning to young conservatives. Our lead voice was slaughtered in front of our eyes to scare us. The assassin did this so publicly on purpose, with literally thousands of his supporters right there in person, all looking directly at him, just to watch him get murdered in such a graphic fashion. And then have the video go viral all over social media for all of us to see. This was to tell us to get back in line. Shut up and be tolerant, or else. Well, guess what? As a young conservative, as a white Christian nationalist, as someone who's been the victim of a culture trying to indoctrinate me my whole life, I say, bring it on. I say, if that's the cost of saying Jesus is Lord, then bring it on. As a matter of fact, I've now been inspired to take it up a notch. I don't want what happened to Charlie to be in vain, and I'm ready to help carry out the torch that Charlie carried. And I know tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of young conservative minds feel the exact same. We've now been radicalized. And when I say that, I don't mean violence, because we're not cowards. We will speak eloquently for the cause. We will bravely say that Jesus is Lord and fight for conservatism in every aspect of culture. We will fight the good fight and we will win. And you will not scare us. We won't fight this fight with the sword, but we won't let one intimidate us either. We will not be tolerant, because how can we be tolerant with people that want? No. They don't just want. People that do kill us. We can no longer treat the culture battle as simply, you know, tax policy, foreign policy, as just simple trivial matters to discuss and ponder. Evil has decided its best way to win is to take up arms and slaughter people for saying the truth. Because they can't defeat our ideas, so they must shoot the effective messengers. But as evil in this battle is fighting with arms, we will fight with words. Speaking our mind is a right that was given to us by our founding fathers. It's the First Amendment for a reason, y'all. And I know Phil said it yesterday, but I'll say it again. I encourage all of you to get to work also. Find something to do in your community to help the cause. It doesn't just have to be politics. In fact, it better not just be politics. Help out with your church. Spread the gospel to someone in the store. Pray fervently for our nation. And also run for your local school board. Speak up at your city council. Make your voice heard. Do not let all the work that Charlie did be done in vain. Carry on the mission. Charlie is in a much better place right now and was welcomed in with open arms. Do not let them scare you into silence. Charlie wouldn't have wanted that. In fact, he would want you to speak even louder now. I know I will be, and I encourage you to do the same. And fittingly enough, Charlie giving his life for the cause might just be the turning point for us. And I'll wrap up with this. You know, pray for Charlie Kirk's family. His wife and kids lost their dad and husband. Charlie's young kids don't even know anything about politics. They didn't care. That was their dad that got taken away from them. In front of them, by the way. They were there. This will leave a direct mark on them for the rest of their lives. And be praying for them. And actually, I think it's fitting. I will end in prayer from this monologue. Lord, please be with America. We are a hurting nation that is waiting for your return. We live in a society where wrong is right and doing right could very well get you killed. But you said it yourself, that you have overcome this world. Let us not get so caught up in worldly matters that we lose the bigger picture. That this life is just a fleeting moment, and what we do here echoes in eternity. Lord, embolden us, reassure us that this life is not the end. That Charlie is being rewarded as we speak for fighting the good fight. And let us fight the good fight as well. Rest in peace to Charlie Kirk. And that is a wrap for the Right Side Way. And we are back. This is producer JP here filling in for Phil on Right Side Radio, where it's always solid, conservative, and just plain right. Trying to pull myself together, folks, after that monologue. And I'll be honest, if I didn't just cry my eyes out in the break just talking about it, it's just such a awful, tragic situation that we're going to be talking about more after the break. What the police know, there's been pictures out of the potential suspect. They brought in many different persons of interest, and it looks like they may have found their guy. They've stitched together a bunch of doorbell video from the neighborhood that he fled into after doing that cowardly act. So it looks like they're making a lot of headway on this investigation, but it's just such a hard pill to swallow. And somebody like myself, my generation, I mean, Charlie has been a staple for my generation, not even just conservatives, but I mean for liberals, the liberals of my generation that routinely went to his events and debated him and, you know, disagreed with him but respected him and felt like they were giving them a platform to discuss their ideas even if they disagreed. It's just, it doesn't even seem real, to be honest with you. I'm still waiting to go on X and see, you know, Charlie debating some stupid or crazy purple-haired person at an event and just, you know, completely schooling them, and or some tweet that he's putting out that is the perfect thing to say at whatever moment he decided to tweet that out. And we're not going to get that anymore, and it's just so hard to believe that that's the case. But it's more than anything, it's just such a tragic situation that a father, a husband, a son, a friend to almost everybody in the conservative movement, you know, that person is now gone. So prayers for everybody involved that has been touched by that. And he touched so many lives in his short time here on earth, and that he will be remembered by that. That's his legacy for making a difference. So I do have to tell you guys about attorney Stan McDonald, though. Stan McDonald, he is a partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee out of Huntsville. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law in North Alabama. And not only will Stan advocate and fight for your legal needs and rights, but he has been an absolute warrior for causes near and dear to our Right Side Ruffian community. Attorney Stan McDonald has represented clients in literally thousands of real estate transactions over the years. Stan McDonald knows how to represent you in court and in front of federal, state, and local decision makers. When Stan McDonald's on your side, you will have no greater friend, and likewise, your adversary will have no greater foe. So, attorney Stan McDonald, I'm going to give you his phone number, 256-479-3020. That's Stan McDonald, 256-479-3020. Tell him you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And this is the first time I don't have to do the disclaimer. How about that? I can just tell you that Stan McDonald rules. So, there's that. All right, well, I'm going to get to some of y'all's texts. I appreciate the texts coming in. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That is the text line. Text it or call it, for that matter. Dave from Capshaw says, JP, the assassination of Charlie Kirk shows that the left couldn't defeat him using facts and logic, as he was so effective at having actual conversations with others on a variety of topics. I agree. He was also a martyr for his faith, and I think you said yesterday this was more spiritual, demonic than political. It absolutely is. And like I said, politics is the expression of the spiritual battle. The spirituality is the root of it. And it's just like the transgenderism, which, by the way, apparently there's the potential rifle that they believe to have found. The murder weapon had a bunch of Antifa transgender sayings, anti-fascist slogans written on the gun. So this could potentially be another transgender shooting. But the transgenderism is an expression of a deeper hole in their life, in their soul, and that they're struggling spiritually, to the fact that they have to mess with God's creation of their own body. And I feel bad for these people. And that's why they do such things like this. And not all of them, obviously. But I mean, we're seeing an uptick in transgender mass shootings. We saw one in just not too long ago in Minnesota. And, you know, we need to pray for those folks, because it is a spiritual battle. Satan has gotten a hold of our society, and these people feel like their body is not enough, and they were made incorrectly, and that's just not true. So I think that is just another expression. The transgenderism, the political ideologies, those are all expressions of a spiritual battle going on underneath that we need to get up and fight in. And when I say fight, obviously I mean with words. You know, we're not going to pick up arms for our movement. And Grace from Madison says, why do we keep elected officials in the House that refuse a silent moment for Charlie Kirk? Despicable. I don't know. How do we let people get into, you know, elected office that don't think prayer is needed? You know, like what Tim Kaine said, that our rights come from government, not from God, and that's a dangerous idea, as if he's never even read the Declaration of Independence. So I don't know how we got here. I don't know how we're at a point where people are celebrating Charlie Kirk's death on the left. It's just another sign of the spiritual battle going on. It's good versus evil, and that's the real battle. It's not just Republican, Democrat. I'll get one more here. Jack from Huntsville, outstanding monologue, JP. Bring it on. Yes, bring it on, man. Bring it on for Charlie. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to be back on the other side here. This is JP with Right Side Radio, filling in for Phil Williams. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Right Side Radio with producer JP here, filling in for Phil Williams today, where it's always solid conservative and just plain right. And we are covering the life of Charlie Kirk, giving him the proper honor, which he was unfortunately taken away from us yesterday from the hands of a murderer, which is still at large right now. They're making a lot of headway in the investigation, thank God, but he is still at large. Hopefully soon they can catch him and bring him to justice. And we're going to get more into that and what we know, what they have said publicly, and what we know about the shooter. But first, let me get some more of y'all's text here. Stephen from Athens says, thanks, son. I'll give you an A++. Thank you, man, for that monologue. Phil Williams, how about allowing JP? Oh, thanks. To do a monologue once a week. He said, not to impugn on your impressive work, but let us hear from the younger generation. Yeah, the younger generation lost a big one yesterday, and I know a lot of my friends feel the exact same way. I've had several friends I haven't talked to in even months, you know, just reach out and talking about Charlie. Did you see what happened to Charlie? It's my whole generation feels it right now, and it's so tragic. Shane from Lacey Springs, awesome monologue, JP. Let's go, man. Mark from Tony says, awesome monologue. I love you in the name of Jesus Christ. Love you too, brother. Stay strong and be louder for Charlie Kirk and his beautiful wife and children. Amen. We all need to do that. John from Huntsville says, perfect spot on monologue, JP. Nobody could have said it any better. Blah, blah. I really appreciate that, John. Tim from Aston says, amen, JP. Much like Paul said to his epistle in Philippi, concerning his imprisonment, Philippians 1:12-14. Now I want you to know, brothers, that my circumstances have actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guards and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And most of the brothers, confident in the Lord by my chains, now dare more greatly to speak the word without fear. Yesterday, as disgusting and heinous the act, God is bigger, therefore love is bigger. And now many dare more greatly to speak the word without fear. I agree. I think, you know, he founded Turning Point. I think yesterday was the turning point for a lot of people. You know, a lot of young conservatives were radicalized. And, you know, whenever people say that, of course, people on the left are saying, oh, they're calling for violence. They've been radicalized. That's not at all what we mean. What we're saying is we've now been radicalized to do what Charlie did and to speak up and to be daring, be bold, speak. And we're not going to let the fact that you killed him in cold blood scare us from speaking out boldly just like he did. So that's what I mean when I say people have been radicalized. We've been emboldened to speak up, and I think we're going to see that. Chris from Priceful. Awesome monologue, JP. Thank you. Charlie's death will not go in vain, but only awaken the lion. It has awakened in me, and I am ready to carry out on the movement. Amen. Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I'm not ashamed. Amen, brother. You said it best. Scott from Athens said, I haven't cried this much since my father passed in 2016. I know what they stole from our younger generation, but they don't realize what they have really done. I am Charlie Kirk. We all are. Godspeed, Charlie. I agree. I mean, right when I ended the monologue there, the tears started flowing. It's just, I mean, so much pent-up emotion the last 24 hours. It's just so, like I said, I mean, it's just so unbelievable. It's just hard to grasp. Missy from Falkville, JP, I agree. It is spiritual. You said yesterday that he was told, welcome home. Again, I agree. I think they also handed him a white robe. Dear Lord, please wrap your loving arms around his family. You said it best. John from Brownsboro said, Charlie compelled the courageous to come forward and challenge his ideas and have a conversation so both would come away richer from the experience. In the end, it was a coward whose ideas would now just be the rantings of a homicidal man or madman. I hope they capture him and justice is served. I don't want to know his name. Let him be buried next to Jimmy Hoffa, nameless and forgotten. Unlike Charlie's way, his way, we all lost. Yeah, I agree, actually. I don't want the name of this guy out there when they do catch him. Don't even put his mugshot out there. Don't even give him the attention that he is seeking. Let him go. He doesn't even deserve to have his name be heard. Let him go in chains into his cell and shame and have it be over with. Because whenever you give the people the attention they seek when they do stuff like this, you just empower other people to do it. And now that guy becomes a martyr for the left. We can't have that. And like I said, this guy doesn't deserve the breath to have his name spoken in public. I mean, it was just such a cowardice thing that, like you said, you know, he offered people to come talk to him. And he, what did he do? He sat up on a building over 200 yards away and like a coward shot and then ran. He ran away like a coward. And that's what he is. And people know that. Charlie's way was for him to come down, express his, you know, disagreements, and then they come away with an understanding of each other. He didn't want to do that. Instead, he was so scared of Charlie that he had to do the cowardice act and take him out and then run away. It's awful. Jeff from Indiana. That was very touching, JP. I appreciate it. I don't think anyone could have said it better. Charlie was 31. You're only 22, but I can see you being another Charlie Kirk. If I could be half the Charlie Kirk man, I'd be happy. You're well-spoken. Thank you. And know what you're talking about. That's all it takes to be an inspiration to others. Good job. I appreciate that, Jeff. And like I said, if I can just be half of what Charlie Kirk did and have half the impact he had, I'd be happy. Jeff from Indiana also said, I think you should take a moment of personal prayer and do the rest of the show. Unfortunately, I can't do that, man. We've already sent out the replays, and I got to bug out of here whenever I get off. So I appreciate it, though, Jeff. Brian from Decatur said, I'm all for the death penalty. Oh, excuse me. I'm all for the death penalty. However, I think this guy should be sent to Supermax and stare at a brick wall 23 hours a day for the rest of his life. I believe that will be more torturous than being on death row for 30 to 40 years. I mean, I agree. I mean, that's, it'd almost be having him get off the hook, wouldn't it? He needs to think long and hard about what he did in terms of, don't even give him the attention. Like, giving him the death penalty is almost giving him too much attention, in my opinion. Like, put him in a cell, give him his food, give him all the requirements, let him out for his hour a day, whatever, and that's it. Don't even bother to look at him. Like, if you give him anything more than just sticking him in a corner of a cell, letting him rot, then you're giving him more attention than he deserves. And like I said, he's looking for validation. That's what he's looking for. And he doesn't deserve it. And I agree completely. And I'm going to get going if I don't stop myself. All right, well, let's talk about, you know, what we know about this shooter. Not much. What we do know, though, is that they think they have picture of the suspect. They tracked that the shooter went onto campus at around 11:52 a.m. local time, traveled up to the building, went up the building through a stairwell, went up on the roof, waited for the event to start, and within about 20 minutes of the event, took a one shot and, you know, was successful to Charlie's neck, then ran away, jumped off the building. And this is what's really scary. I had some people bring this up after it happened, and now it's been proven to be true from video footage that the shooter, after taking the shot at Charlie, was able to take off his... He was wearing all black, of course, wearing a mask, of course, and I believe he changed into something a little bit more, you know, common, like a t-shirt or something, and he blended right in with the crowd of students that were running for their lives. So you think about that. The students were running away for their lives after seeing their, you know, their guy Charlie get shot right in front of them, the guy they went to the event to watch, and are traumatized, running away from their lives, and yet they're running right next to the shooter and didn't even know it the whole time. And he then proceeded to flee through a neighborhood, and they believe that they've traced his tracks through the neighborhood, went to a wooded area where they found a gun they believe to be the gun. It was wrapped in a towel in the woods that you know, could be his trace. And they found a bunch of, you know, cryptic carvings into the gun. I've seen some people say, like, Antifa, you know, messages, trans messages, anti-fascist messages, which makes you to believe, you know, who this person was and what his ideologies were, obviously. And then they went back to the stairwell footage and snapped a picture of the guy. If you want to go see the picture of the guy, you can go on Twitter anywhere. You can see it. And they're offering up a $100,000 reward for anybody that has any information on this guy. And that's pretty much all we know. It was a little bit discouraging yesterday, I have to be honest. You know, around after the showtime yesterday, they had brought in several people of interest, talked to them, and then released them. They initially arrested an older fellow who was at the base of the building, I believe. I think he was arrested initially for obstructing, and then I don't know if that guy is still in custody, but he is not the shooter, this older gentleman. And then they Cash Patel announced that they have arrested a suspect after they arrested that guy, and then they released him to come to find out he wasn't the shooter also. So around the time I went to bed last night, there was not much. I mean, the shooter was very much still at large, but when we woke up this morning, there was a lot more information that they had made a bunch of progress in the investigation and were able to release all of what I told you just now. So it is encouraging. Progress is being made. The shooter, his picture could very well, you know, I believe that's him, is out there for everybody to see and hopefully find this guy. And there's also been a lot of speculation, and I'm actually going to play a quick clip here from Fox News yesterday. There's been a lot of speculation about the shooter and the fact that he was able to have such an accurate shot, was so successful from over 200 yards away, which I've seen a bunch of gunsmen talk about how that's not really that far anyways. But it was from elevation. And this is the part, too, that I'm amazed by. Charlie was under a tent. The tent was pretty low over him. But yet he was able to, you know, I guess still have a direct shot at Charlie. But there's been a lot of speculation about, was this a more of a professional job? You know, it kind of had the... it looked like that may have been the case. And there was actually some speculation. A former FBI agent went on Fox News yesterday. Here, I'm going to pull the clip up. And said why he thinks this very well could be a professional job and how, unfortunately, it may be a while before we find this guy. Here it is.
I think this assassination, different than the assassinated attempt back in Butler, Pennsylvania, was a very well-planned, very well-orchestrated plot that was put in motion days before, and this individual had a plan of escape to elude detection of being out up on a rooftop and also being able to evade and elude law enforcement after that shot was taken. When you take a look at what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania, Crooks came onto the venue, he left the venue, he came back, he was questioned. I mean, it was really an amateur scenario. This assassination of Charlie Kurt, to me, is indicative of a professional hit. And I'm not so sure that we are going to quickly be able to apprehend this individual without some luck, hopefully.
Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully they can bring this guy in. But it is odd. I mean, you look back at the Trump failed assassination attempt, where the guy missed, obviously he nicked Trump's ear, but then he started just sporadically shooting into the crowd because he panicked and he didn't know what else to do and just started shooting at innocent people at the rally because he's a coward. But this was one shot, and he was off and he was running and he knew where he was going. He jumped off the building and took off and has still been at large as we speak. So I don't know. There's still a lot of unknowns in this, and I'm sure over time there's going to be a lot of people like that man who are expressing, and he's a former FBI agent, so I mean, he's speaking from experience there. A lot of it is stuff we're obviously still figuring it out, but yeah, the fact he was able to get onto the roof, planned, you know, had a direct shot at Charlie, knew which building to go to, and then immediately, without even hesitating, after he took the shot, knew where he was going, had a plan, and was successfully evaded the police. So hopefully they can get this guy. But that is all we know about the shooter right now. And we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, answer some more of y'all's text, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Let me know your thoughts on this tragic situation as we are honoring the life of Charlie Kirk today. And we'll be right back. And we are back. This is JP here with Right Side Radio, filling in for Phil Williams today, where it's always solid conservative and just plain right. Unfortunately, Phil could not be here today, but he is. He got called away last minute to in regards to something that is very exciting. Big news coming soon. Unfortunately, we cannot say anything yet, but stay on the lookout. We'd love to talk to you all about it coming up soon. But in the meantime, I've been filling in for the first hour here. The rest of the show will be a replay from yesterday's show where the news of Charlie Kirk was breaking during the show. It's just, you know, we're trying to honor him the best way we can today. And that the best way to do that is to speak loudly and boldly and let them know. Let the folks who, you know, thought that this incident would silence young conservatives or conservatives in general, that this would scare people into silence, scare people to be tolerant, to step back in line and to shut up. It's not the case at all, and I think it's actually going to have a big reverse effect. This is going to sting for a while. I'll be honest. The Charlie Kirk incident. This is a big loss, and I think the fact that it was so public too was by intention. I think the shooter wanted to do this. The killer wanted to do this so publicly in front of all of his supporters to have a shock and awe factor and to scare the ever-living mess out of everybody, but especially the young conservatives who were there. I mean, imagine, I can't even imagine being a college student at my school. You know, school just started up not too long ago. You're excited about the new year. Charlie Kirk's coming to your campus, and you can't wait to go and see him. You get a front row seat with your buddies, and he's throwing out, you know, Make America Great Again hats beforehand, riling up the crowd, and everybody's excited and ready to go, and then you have to see that happened right in front of you, and that's something that is traumatizing, and it's just awful. But I think that's what the shooter intended. He wanted it to be that public so that people would get scared and shut up. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. I promise you that. I can speak, you know, as somebody who watched Charlie Kirk since middle school, somebody who has consumed his content. He helped shape my earliest beliefs as a conservative. He spearheaded the culture war on college campuses. Somebody who's watched Charlie Kirk since middle school, I can tell you that it will have a reverse effect. And if you try to scare us into shutting up, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I got some more texts that came in here. Let's see. Cameron from Decatur said that, "I think that too many Americans are unwilling to look at demonic oppression or possession as a cause for much of the violence that we're seeing in society, especially when you've got someone who has no record of that type of behavior suddenly snapping. Psychology typically tries to discount the spiritual aspect in place of some type of mental illness." If I can read there, that'd be great. I appreciate you, Cameron, though. I agree 100%. I mean, these are folks that are acting, on behalf of evil. Evil is showing its face through people like this. It is a spiritual battle. Clint from Tony, JP, outstanding monologue. Thank you. "The left has no respect for the rule of law, nor do they care for anyone who doesn't agree with their views or agenda. This was made abundantly clear when the Dems refused to join in the moment of silence for Mr. Kirk." Yeah. "Through their actions, they have underwritten assassins and pulled the stops out on all manners of violence and lawlessness." Clint from Tony. Yeah, if y'all didn't see the clip, apparently they tried to have a moment of prayer before the House, you know, was set yesterday, and there were Democrats who yelled out no and booed it. It wasn't a lot of them, but there were a handful of Democrats who did that. And shame on them, seriously, because if they can't even stop looking through the political lens for a second and see the fact that a innocent, loving father, whether you disagree with him on politics or not, a loving father, husband was murdered in front of his wife and kids and a bunch of other folks. I mean, over 3,000 students were there, I believe. It was between 2,000 to 3,000. And they all had to watch that. But they don't even think for a second about that. They're just thinking about their next political action in that. And it's really sad to see. We got Stephen from Athens here. I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with terrible resolve. Japanese Admiral Isoro Yamamoto in the aftermath of Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. Yep, that quote is appropriate for the extent situation. Christians of faith have been awakening to the reality of evil afoot. I fear there may be a tremendous backlash from the sinister assassination of Charlie Kirk. We're not calling for violence. We're not calling for violence, and I'm not insinuating that's what you meant, but that should be the biggest message here, on top of, you know, telling people to speak up, carry on the torch that Charlie Kirk, you know, carried so bravely. Do what he would have wanted you to do, and to be loud, be vocal, and do not pick up arms. Do not respond with violence, because then it just gets worse. Well, folks, that's all from me today. The rest of the show will be a replay of yesterday's show. Unfortunately for those on the live stream, it will be ending now, but we appreciate you guys tuning in. And tomorrow, Phil will be back, so make sure to tune in then. This is Right Side Radio with JP, and appreciate you guys tuning in.